Welcome to the Walk Home Podcast, where we share diverse conversations on the human experience. I'm your host, Kayla Nielsen, and I can't wait to explore a wide variety of topics with guests from all walks of life. If you love our episodes, then please don't forget to share about us on social media and tag us at the Walk Home Pod. Remember to spread our message to family, friends, and loved ones if you think a specific topic would resonate with them. And if you're called to rate and review, you can always email us a screenshot to receive 2 specially crafted yoga classes from me as a thank you for your support. Thank you so much for being here on this journey. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Walk Home Podcast. I'm your host, Kayla Nielsen, and I'm so happy to be sitting here again with, other than Alex, our first repeat guest ever, my doctor and friend Marissa. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm so excited to be back. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as we had our first conversation, we were already like, okay, when can we do this again? Because we barely scratched the surface and there's so much to talk about when it comes to Chinese medicine and acupuncture and herbs and everything that you work in. So I'm really excited to dive a little deeper today.
Yeah, me too. We got a lot of questions the last time on the elements, and I know that was like the very end. So
I know.
I'm ready to just dive in a little bit more on it.
Yes, absolutely. So if you are just tuning in for the first time and you didn't hear the first conversation with Marissa, I highly recommend going back and listening to that one first, just to give a super brief overview. We talked a little bit about how Marissa came into practicing Chinese medicine and acupuncture. She lost her sister tragically to suicide, I think 7 years ago. Is that right?
Gonna be 8 soon.
Yeah. So we were really looking at it more through the scope of mental health, her own mental health journey, as she was dealing with the grief and as she still continues to deal with the grief and loss of someone that she loved so much, and how she entered into the school of Chinese medicine and is now running her own practice. And it's so amazing. So go back and listen to that if you want to hear more about it. But as I mentioned in the very intro, she is someone who treats me, and she's someone that I rely on very heavily when it comes to my health. And I'm so, so happy to share her wisdom here. So we are going to dive into the elements specifically today. And I want to just jump right in because they are so intricate and they can kind of go so many different directions that I think that we really want to spend the bulk of the episode there. So why don't you just start with the broad overview? What are the elements in Chinese medicine?
So the 5 elements and the phases are essentially these patterns that reveal how we organize our thoughts, our behaviors, our demeanor with the world around us. So it's our being on a cellular level, but it's also our being on an emotional and energetic level. It's really taking into account the changes of the seasons, the biorhythmic changes of the body, and also our personalities as like a whole. They're really generated on these cycles of 7 to 8 years. And let me backtrack for a second. Everybody has one phase or one season that predominates the most. However, we all have each and every one of the phases within us at every given moment. And these are shown through the different transitions of life. So going back into the phases in particular, the human body in Chinese medicine runs on cyclic cycles of 7 to 8 years, which the more that I study, the more that I find it fascinating, because between allopathic and even Ayurveda, they all kind of say the same thing. So when you get to the root of it, it may be a different terminology, but the core is the same. The human body regenerates itself on a cycle of every 7 to 8 years. The skin is something that does it a little bit faster, but it's also that pattern of 2 weeks, which is in increments of 7 days. So in our body, the first 0 to 7 years is really this water phase, water wood, depending on the lineage of your life. So we're in the womb, which governs conception, and we're really taking into account the reproduction and essence and developing who am I. And then the first phases of the year deal with, you know, the very basic, call it root chakra, love, connection, and security. Then you transition out of that cyclic 7 into 7 to 14, and you have more of this energetic growth and development. they're changing and adapting and becoming versatile and really active in their lives. So this is more of also that kind of wood. So then 14 to 17, we have this fire type phase where, well, 14 to 21, I should say, which is really where envisioning and getting into perception and imagination, and we're starting to dive into our sexuality, our sensuality, our pleasures in life. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes where we get into trouble with drugs and experimenting different things, you know, just trying to find our way and meeting through the world through stimulus. Then after 21, from the period of like 21 to 28, 29, we call this cycle really the earth type cycle. So a lot of times it involves some form of schooling. It doesn't have to be collegiate schooling. It can be whatever your passions are, you're starting to apply it into work. So it's this kind of grounding phase where you're studying and integrating and digesting and finding your center. And then from after that, you know, the ages of 29 onwards to about 34, 35, 36 is the refinement of this process. So how do we take what we've learned throughout the years and apply it to our life? And then all of a sudden it starts all over again. Similar with like the Saturn returns, what age
that's exactly what I was going to say. That sounds like the Saturn return.
Yeah, it's like this culmination where all of a sudden it's your life in review. And it's like, how can we take what we've learned and then apply it to the next cycle? So as you can see, Chinese medicine really takes into account all of these and then breaks them into the phases. To know the phases, and why I start off with this topic, is because to understand that we're constantly changing and moving through. So you can be born into one phase, but you may be in an earth type transition in your life or water type transition and be dealing with water or earth type things, which I'll elaborate, you know, a little bit more mm-hmm. later. So within the cycles, if some of you are unfamiliar with them, we have wood, which is that springtime germination process of growth. And then from wood, you have fire, which is the very beginning of summer, which is passion and fervor and heat. And then the end of summer is more so the harvest. So this is earth type, which is a little different because we break it up into two seasons for that summer phase. Then you have the metal, which is really this process of also refinement, but it's transition of letting go. So you see the leaves of summer begin to turn and die off and fall, getting ready to prepare for that yin type of winter. So finally, you have the winter, which is the utmost yin, which is the calm and introspection and where we take our nourishment and take it in. Nowadays with society, everything is fast and go, that we skip that process, which is super important, of really nurturing and holding and growing and caring for ourselves in the process. Those are the five cycles, essentially. And within these cycles, we have different forms of relationships within them. So there's something called the Sheng cycle, which is the transmuting cycle. It's kind of the birth of one element into another. And then there's also the controlling cycle. So I'll give you an example of these cycles. Within the Sheng cycles is where you see collapse and also where you see growth. So a wood type person in its utmost position is going to be really excited and charismatic and vibrant and bright. However, in a collapsed state, it retreats a little bit more to water, so secluded. Perhaps when it's burnt out, it likes to be alone. So the phases, you could wonder, you know, oh, I'm an earth type person, you know, but I feel more like a metal. That may be because you're in a metal phase or you're acting in an exaggeration. Mm-hmm. Now, another cycle, so there's the Sheng cycles of it, and then there's something called the Ke cycles, which is more controlling. This is where you see conflict. Consider it almost like the squares in astrology where different planets are positioned in different ways. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't always have to mean conflict and hardship in life. It just means opportunities to grow. So for instance, wood has conflict with earth. So if wood is too dominant in our chart, or we are in a very dominant wood type phase, what happens? Wood invades earth. Now, how you can see this on a physiological level is when we suppress emotions over and over and over again, what happens? It shows up in our gut. Like how often do you have something where you feel that anger inside and all of a sudden you have a stomach ache or emotional diarrhea, or you get digestive issues and, you know, problems assimilating different nutrients in the body. So these are how the cycles can show up in your life as well. They're processes of growth, but they're also processes of control. And I guess what we learn through the cycle is trying to find the balance between.
Yeah, and it kind of reminds me, same as Ayurveda, of when you can be, say, a pitta person or a vata person, but they explain it more as being excessive or depleted in it. So it's kind of that same collapse or conflict where it's like when it is excessive, it's like all of those characteristics are exasperated and then coming out in a way that isn't the healthiest for yourself because it is too much. And I think what is important on that note, and I know we're going to kind of get into some herbs and things that can help balance out each of the elements, but even too much of a good thing can lead to your detriment, because even too much of a good thing is excessive and therefore out of balance.
Exactly. And that, you know, I really want to refine on that topic because that's something that we sometimes forget in the world that we live in. The basis of the five elements teaches us to use more tools in our toolbox. So typically what happens is we get so locked into our way of being in our mold, whether it's an earth mold, water mold, fire mold, that we treat every situation like a nail with our hammer. And we get frustrated when the nail won't fit the hammer. And sometimes it's not the nail, you know? So what this allows us to do when you start to study it a little bit more is to adapt to different situations and different circumstances, so you're not always in stages of collapse or excess. We talk about, you know, addictions a lot of the time. Addiction doesn't have to just be to drugs and alcohol. It can be, as you know, addiction to relationships, addiction to healthy foods. Most times I see in the clinic addiction to the idea of perfectionism and cleanliness, being closer, if you're religious, to Christ is even an addiction in its own. Mm-hmm. So finding the balance within that temper is what's something that I've learned through the elements, which I find really, really, really cool.
That's something that I can relate to. I don't know if this is a wood type thing, which we did talk about in our first episode. Myself and Marissa are both wood type people, but I'm very all or nothing. Mm-hmm. And I know I shared about this at the end of last year, that my zinc poisoning, for instance, I'm like, oh, zinc's good for you. And if I feel a little bit sick, if I feel a scratch in my throat, especially in the era of COVID, when it's like, let's keep our immune systems high and go all in on really nurturing the immune system, and took so much zinc that I was throwing up uncontrollably thinking, oh, but it's good for me. I can't take too much. And I'm someone that, you know, I kind of know a lot about wellness and supplements, and even I still make these mistakes all the time. Or on more the mental side of it, like you were saying, the addiction to self-development or health in and of itself, it's like fixating on the things so much that that's kind of keeping you stuck, or it's keeping you low, or it's keeping you unhealthy because you're so obsessed with trying to fix it instead of just letting go a little bit and letting nature do its work.
Exactly.
All right, everyone, we're just going to take a quick pause and give some love to today's sponsor, Chaco's Footwear. Designed by River Guides in 1989 and still the best sports sandal to ever set foot outdoors. Meet the Z Sandals, the iconic sandal developed for whitewater and now enjoyed by outdoor enthusiasts all over the world. It takes its name from the Z-shaped straps that cross over and wrap the foot for a 360-degree adjustment and a customized fit. Durably constructed out of only 8 component parts and a fully repairable for long-term value. Ari, Chaco. Plus, they come with Chaco's Love Seat PU footbed for all-day comfort and support, and feature Chaco Grip rubber for the best performing classic outsole to date. It's Chaco's first innovation and the last sandal you'll ever need. What makes these sandals unique is their long-term value. Chaco's ReChaco program allows you to send in their Chacos for repair. This speaks to the durability of the sandals and consumers' deep connection to the brand. I personally can say that I love my Chacos so much for any outdoor activity. You have an opportunity to get yours at a discounted rate with the code KAYLA10. That's KAYLA10, KAYLA, getting a little discount on your Chacos today. Let's get back to the show.
And with the elements, the main question comes in because I know everyone, you know, wants to know their element and what they are. So the question to ask yourself, it's not what you do, but it's why you do what you do. So for instance, an earth type person, or, you know, a job typically that is connected to the earth type is a chef. However, that doesn't mean that all chefs are earth types. Mm-hmm. The earth type chef would choose that career in connection with being able to feed a whole table and liking that connection of everyone surrounded and gathering for the harvest of Thanksgiving and, you know, feeding other different bodies. That's what drives the earth type chef. Whereas the fire type chef would be entranced with the magic of cooking, how you can blend different spices and aromas together and create something new. So it's like that process of creation that really sparks the fire type chef. The wood type chef is the type that you'd probably see on those TV shows. Gosh, I forget the name. You know, those Food Network like competition,
yeah.
Like where they're super fast. That's a wood type chef. Like they like the drive for competition. It doesn't always have to be competition with other people. It's just the competition within themselves to perform a certain way at a certain time and get it done and be the best at it. That's a wood type chef. Often you probably see them as line cooks, like lining everything up in order, trying to get things done. Mm-hmm. And then you have the water type chef, which is always trying to reinvent the wheel. So create a totally new dish. So like you've never heard it before. They're really the innovators, you know, let me create an entirely new taste, you know, create a cake with this and that and different things. So those are some things to ask yourself before I get even a little bit more. It's why, what are your motives? You know, what are your psychological motives and physiological motives to how you choose to move about the world? Because everyone has them.
Yeah. Yeah. And just so everyone knows, Marissa gave me a little graphic and chart that can help people to help type themselves a little bit more easily if this conversation doesn't kind of get you in that direction for whatever reason. So we will attach that to the show notes, or if you're just a more visual learner than an audio learner, there will be that resource there, which is great. But I would love if you could kind of go into the personality types of each element so people can get a little bit more clear about what they might be.
The wood type person is driven on ambition. The emotion that typically resonates the most with wood, at least in an exaggerated state, is anger. So they are really the change makers. The direction of wood is up and out. So doing things at a fast pace, that momentum of going forward, of creation, of new ideas, the visionary, let's get things done. These are all things that have to do with wood. The power of wood comes from judgment and it comes from movement as well. So when you think of body processes that relate to a wood type person, you have the peripheral nervous system. Muscles. So some type of imbalances sometimes that show up is a lot of muscle cramping and tendon cramping or tendon and sinew issues. Other things that show up for a wood type person, if you're a female, is premenstrual cramps and a lot of gynecological issues because of that tension of contraction right before the fluid movement of blood in the body. Wood types are also prone to vascular headaches and migraines because of the pressure and intensity that we move through life. A lot of times, stress is a big proponent of the wood type because we have this inner fight or inner dialogue that our life has to be a certain way. And if it's not a certain way, it's wrong. So our goal and mission in life is to kind of drop that and know that it's going to work out. It's going to work out. And even if it's not according to our plan, it's going to be okay. Now we have then the fire type, which is the heart and the small intestine. So you get a little bit more into circulation here. It's the movement of blood. It's our heart. It's our sensations, perspirations, visions, sleep. The fire type person typically will have flushed cheeks, pointy head, curly hair. Didn't mention it before, but going back to the wood types are typically built a little bit more angular. So they're very like long and proportioned. Rarely have hips. I wish I did.
That's why you said to me, you look like a wood type. I have no hips.
Yeah. You know, just very long in stature, muscular, you know, governed by the tendons and sinews. So, you know, back to fire, you know, curly hair, usually pointed head, sometimes fleshy body, you know, it depends. Think of kind of like a teardrop position. That's usually their body type. They do have curves. The fire types are the wizard. So something that really propels the wizard is when you're asking the question of why I do what I do. The difference between fire and wood. So both are a little bit warmer of an element, but the wood type is driven more on competition and the fire type is driven more on sensation, more on passion, more on fervor, more on like doing something because it feels right to me in that moment. So the drive for impulsivity is a little bit different. With wood, it's more direction-based. With fire, it's a little bit more sensation-based, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a really great differentiator. I hadn't heard of that before, and I think that will land with a lot of people if they're like, oh, I kind of feel the same, because you do also see yourself in all of the elements. We experience the full range of them, as you already explained, just through the cycle of life. Mm-hmm. But it's really coming back to that why you do things. Mm-hmm. Not so much what you're doing, but I think really offers a more clear picture of which type you might be.
Yeah, exactly. So then the earth type person. The earth type person is the peacekeeper. It's the caregiver. A lot of issues or just kind of central topics of the earth type, hint central, is our middle jaw, or the center of our body. A lot of digestion and assimilation issues. So they have sometimes complaints of being bloated or holding water because they govern the distribution of fluid intake throughout the body. An earth type person can be a little bit fleshier, a little bit more plump, but they can also be very thin. So sometimes central topics of conversation that come up with the earth type person is the ability to nourish themselves and the ability to be nourished by others. Earth type people don't like to ask for help, but they expect help. So they tend to overexert themselves in different situations in their life and care for everyone else and have that same expectation back. And when their expectations aren't met, they get anxious, they get frustrated, and they can start to shake. And eventually that shake creates like an eruption, like a volcano. So in the previous podcast, we mentioned, you know, the different types of outbursts, whereas wood is more of a intense in the moment anger. Earth is more of like this gradual, like 3 month process. I'm holding it in. I'm holding it in. I'm holding it in. I'm cooking for you every day. I want one meal for myself. And then finally they blow up because you haven't cooked a meal for them.
Yes. Yeah. And just kind of on that note, what is the communication style between the elements?
Wood types are very direct and they're governed on direction. Remember, that's how they move, is through the body, also in like a straight kind of linear way. So the wood type person, you know, I see a wood type person come into my clinic. They have a goal, they have a vision, they have a plan. They're very direct in their kind of communication, is what their expectations are and what their goals are meant to be. The wood types value honesty and virtue really over everything else. So you tell me what I need to get done for my health and I will do it. This is totally exaggerating, but if you tell a wood type to eat poop, they would most likely be a woman that would eat poop to better their health.
Yes, I can relate to that. I'm like, I trust you. It's fine. You said it. You're my doctor. Okay.
There's actually an herb, Wulang Zhe, that's flying squirrel feces used for circulation, but that's a totally different thing. Be the ones that would most likely eat that, because it's like, whatever it takes, let's do it and let's get it done. The fire types are very open on sensation, so they talk a lot from their feelings. They're very metamorphic and expressive in the way that they communicate. So a lot of it is talked in forms of personification or spiritual. I see a lot of people who are very connected to the spiritual realm of things, you know, the mysticism of things, that side. Astrology lovers usually tend to be more fire types in that kind of aspect. So they're communicating with feeling, which wood is communicating more on like visual kinesthetics, like let me write it down, let me see it to believe it. Fire types, let me feel it in my body, and this is how I'm going to communicate with you, is how I feel about something. The earth type is, how do you feel? Are you comfortable? So they don't really like sharing much about themselves. You know, the earth type will come into my clinic. Oh, you don't have to do that. It's totally okay. Take your time. Like, I can totally wait, even though they want it to.
Yeah.
They want to vocalize that. So Yeah, they're a little bit more passive aggressive, I would say, in their demeanor. You know, they're soft toned, soft spoken, always putting the concerns of others before themselves, sometimes to their detriment a little bit. That's a big lesson for Earth, is how to stand your ground and really be owning in your power.
Yes, I can definitely understand how that would be to their detriment. Just with the example that you gave, they show up to your office, say 5 minutes early, and you're like, oh, I'm still with a client, or I'm still with someone, I'll see you in 5 minutes. And they're like, oh, it's okay, take your time. But in their head, they secretly were hoping to get in 5 minutes early, and they're kind of internalizing that anger.
Yeah, exactly. And then the metal types are very articulate. They like a routine. They like a little bit more structure. So wood types are more direct in their statements. Metal also likes direction, but metal likes direction with order, whereas wood likes direction with spontaneity and excitement and newness. Like, that's something that really charges and propels a wood. The metal is like, you know, this is going to be this way. This is how we're going to get it done. We're going to take the herbs at this time every single day. Give me a chart, an Excel sheet with everything typed out. They'll usually come to the office with like a list of things, you know, to have. That's a metal type person. The metal type really governs respiration and elimination. So from a Western standpoint, the way that we breathe affects our digestion as well. So if we're holding our breath, we can't let go of things. You know, energetically, it's that process of letting go and loosening the grip and allowing to move fluidly through life is a really big lesson of the metal. Metal reveres beauty above all. It's a little bit different from the beauty of a fire type. So this is beauty of the process, beauty of assimilation, beauty of refinement, of discerning what's good and what's not. So judges, often politicians, tend to be very metal in their stance. Metal is a little bit more cold in their perception of things. And it's not a bad cold. Think of, you know, we often think of knives and sharp things, but it can also be like a precious jewel or a gem, like their process of really getting to that, the wholeness of something is something that a metal is really, really good at. They're very good with numbers. I am terrible with numbers, really good with order. Oftentimes issues that arise with metal and issues like imbalances in that long and large intestine are skin issues, because it also exacerbates in the skin. Respiratory, constantly getting a cold, especially in the fall. You see that a lot with metals. Any kind of cough or residual breathing issues, you'll find in the metal type person too. And also some joint things, because metal governs lubrication as well. So if you're not really lubricated, you feel very dry and very stiff. Metals are, their proportions are very small. So they can be tall or they can be short, but you know, their jaws are a little bit more square, their fingers are more willowy and long, their shoulders are narrow, their hips are also narrow, you know, but they're very, I think, very put together. Wood types are a little bit more muscular and fleshy in their presentation than the metal type. So then, you know, lastly, we have the water. And the water type, so water has to do with the kidneys. And it deals with everything from reproduction to sexual integration to bones to marrow to growth and development are things that are issues with the water type. Water type people tend to have very big eyes and are very strong boned, or just big boned in general, as the kidneys governs the bones. Sometimes the issues with the water is in things of isolation. So if you put it on a scale of like hot to cold, fire is the hottest, water is the coldest. Water types tend to be a little bit more introverted than the rest of the elements. They really relish their alone time. They're known as the philosophers. So their motive behind doing things is to reinvent the wheel, but also for the pursuit of knowledge, to know things and be things and study things and develop things. Albert Einstein would probably be an example of a water type. Think outside of the box. The water types, they won't share a lot. You know, they're very to themselves. They're very sometimes timid, but eventually once trust is also a big thing with them, once you break their barrier of trust, like you're in the circle, you're in their water. Some things with water sometimes is issues with libido, issues with reproduction, infertility, problems with the joints, arthritis, with the venous repressure and also like high cholesterol can be things with water type two, just that buildup of things in the body or things that water types have.
Yeah, I think that all of that helps paint a really clear picture for people. So hopefully you have an idea of kind of which element you might resonate with the most, or you might identify with the most. Like I said, there is that link in the show notes if you are more of a visual learner. But I would love to hear a little bit more about some different ways to help each person who identifies with each element back into balance as far as the herbology side of it goes, because I know that you use herbs in your practice. I know we talked about this in the first episode, but I would love if you could kind of reiterate the importance of that it isn't just needles, it isn't just cupping, it isn't just this more physical practice that you go into once or twice a week into your acupuncturist and then that's it. It's the ongoing nourishment that we get through the herbs. So I'd love if you could touch on that and then how each herb is impacting each of the elements.
You know, like you said, this medicine is really a lifestyle. You know, there's many realms of healthcare. There's the most external, which probably most people are familiar with. It's, you know, I have a headache, treat me for my headache, and that's it. That's surface level. And then we have this inner womb kind of, what is wellness? So what are the definitions of wellness to me, which we get more into the herbs, you know, and the spices and different lifestyle tips and advice. And then there's cultivation, how you could really connect like meditation practices with each element. So these are all spheres of wellness and health and TCM. As far as different herbs go, I'm an herb nerd, as many of you guys know. So I love to be touching on this topic. We'll start with wood because we are in spring season. So wood types right now, the biggest issue, and everyone is feeling it on one way or another, because it's just the sensation of spring, is this form of pressure and this form of stress. And really what stress is the expectation that life has to be a certain way. And if I'm not doing it a certain way, then X, Y, and Z will happen. So some things that happen when we're stressed out is we round our shoulders, we clench our jaw, we hold our fists, so headaches arise, and you have this whole like hunching position of, you know, everything has to be this way, and if it's not, then it's not good enough. Herbs that really help with this are things that can target the central nervous system. So for these kind of things, I'll do a Western perspective and then an Eastern perspective. So from a Western way, you know, magnesium and ashwagandha help to really calm things down and de-stress the body. From an Eastern perspective, some of the main herbs that I love are things that help to move and mobilize the liver. One of them being an herb called xiangfu. Xiangfu, if you guys are unfamiliar with it, has to do a lot with the movement of liver blood with gynecological issues. So if you're a female listening to this and you're having premenstrual tension that's worse during the spring season, some things that can help with that is to get proper movement in your lower womb by adding things like ashwagandha, xiangfu, and other things in your diet that promote healthy circulation of the blood through the season, so we're not holding things so tense. So the fire is really big with central nervous system and circulation issues. When I think of fire, some things to promote healthy circulation in terms of fire for the heart, because the heart is one of the main organs for the fire dynamic, is something called saliva root. It's dan shen. So not only does it oxidize the body, but it's really rich in antioxidants that help lower the cholesterol, promote the movement of blood through the venous and the arterial system. On top of that, if you guys are familiar with like foods and different food groups, have you heard of purple potato?
Potato
is like really, really good for cardiovascular health because it's also rich in flavonoids and antioxidants that promote healthy heart health. So these are all things that you want to consider. Hawthorn fruit is really, really good at healing and promoting the downwards movement of the heart. So fire is up. So you want things to calm the fire and drain it down. So think of things in the bitter food group. You have coffee, actually. Coffee gets a bad rap. It's really the additives that are in coffee. Black coffee has a movement that's downward that can be really good for a fire type person. So having a small cup of black coffee in moderation in the morning, you know, is great. Now we have the earth type. So with the earth, huge on digestion of nutrients. If your digestive system is out of whack, your whole body is kind of out of whack. They consider actually the microbiome now the second brain. So from a Western standpoint, things to help balance the earth type person, Well, really, every person, I think, is a good probiotic. You want to get on probiotics. You want to have the right amount of healthy flora, especially if you have used antibiotics over and over again. Antibiotics aren't necessarily bad in emergent situations. Sometimes you need them, but just make sure that you're promoting yourself with healthy probiotics afterwards. In foods, you can get this from yogurts, kefir. From a Eastern standpoint, you have things like chen pi, which is orange peel, lemon, which is a citrus that helps alkalize the digestive system. You may be wondering, why would I want to fight acidity with acidity in the stomach? Because actually, to control acid in the stomach, you need more acid. So even with acid reflux, that's why apple cider vinegar with the mother is really good for acid reflux, a little bit every single day. Because if there's too much acid in the stomach, what happens is that esophagus opens, so then acid is constantly flowing back up. So in order to close that hole, you actually have to put more acid back in to neutralize it and prevent that upwards flame. So that's why citrus fruits are really, really good for an earth type. Often earth types have an issue with digesting certain foods. So I would caution an earth type person to be careful with cruciferous veggies, broccoli, cauliflower. Yes, these are all healthy, but they're really hard to digest sometimes. So if you're eating them, making sure that they're steamed or finding other sources. So in the yellow and orange family, you have pumpkin, you have sweet potato. These can all help you build your digestive system so you can better assimilate the foods in your body.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just on the note of how they're cooked too, raw tends to be a lot more difficult, I think, for most people in general to digest. So also just noticing if you are having extreme bloating after eating something raw, maybe just steaming it or even lightly cooking it. If you don't want it all soggy and limp and gross, of course, but yeah, there are ways that you can just make it a little bit more gentle on your belly.
Exactly. Also adding like black pepper is really good for warming it a little bit. Black pepper helps to absorb a little bit more of the nutrients in the body too. So that's something that you can do on top of, you know, lightly steaming or just cooking it a little bit more so it's easier in your digestive system. So metal, you know, you think respiration, you think the lungs. So one of my favorite things, if you have a perpetual cough or you're dealing with a lot of upper chest congestion, respiratory ailments, is something called tremella. So tremella is actually snow fungus. It's a mushroom. And tremella is a rich source of collagen. It actually lubricates and nourishes the lungs, so you're not having as dry as a cough or really tightness in the chest. Another thing for the lung type person is spices like cayenne pepper, ginger. So all of what these do is they vasodilate. They allow the blood vessels to open so you have less constriction. What happens to a metal type person? Their tendency is to contract and to hold in. So all of these things promote healthy circulation of qi in the body. If you have sinus allergies also, what is the first thing that you want to do? Open your sinus passages. So essential oils or even herbs like eucalyptus can be really healing for that. Peppermint can be really healing for that. As mentioned before, cayenne pepper is great for that too. So think about things that are able to open and less contract. Those are what I would recommend for the metal type person. So water, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is you're thinking brain health and you're also thinking reproductive system and libido. The things that target that the most are one of my favorites, mushrooms, like mushrooms and forms of adaptogens. So we're talking reishi, cacao, cordyceps, all really high in antioxidants. They're all good for promoting healthy white blood cell counts. So with an earth type, or not earth type, water type, you typically have a little bit lower immune system sometimes, or things that you're dealing with. In order to boost that white blood cell count, consider taking reishi and cordyceps every single day. These are one things that can really boost the numbers relatively quickly and help to fight any oxidative stress in the body. So those are all herbs, you know, and food actually recommendations for each element.
Yeah, and I know that you have talked about this before on your social media, and I talked to you about it personally in the office, but when you're talking about supplements, so there's one thing to add herbs, you can add some of these things into your dishes and some spices, but when you're talking about supplements, I would love if you could also speak to just kind of the supplement industry and how there's so many brands, it's oversaturated. The quality is questionable. Even again, as someone that I feel pretty confident in knowing what I need and when, but I still will always ask a professional of which brand, because yeah, you can just go on Amazon and order any of these things, but does that make a difference? And how do you know? How do you know what to choose? Because it can be very overwhelming.
Yeah, super overwhelming. And you know, one of the things is the issue with the supplement world right now is that there's been such a big boom that whenever there's a big rise in anything, you know, people get wind of it and they want to make money. Everyone wants to make a buck. So everyone's thinking, how can I sell the cheapest out there, but still make money for it? So that's the caution sometimes with the supplement world, especially now that the FDA has kind of gotten wind of it. And the FDA has actually started regulating the supplements a little bit. As far as quality goes and sourcing, many supplements out there, what you want to look for instance, on probiotics, number one thing with probiotics, don't buy them on Amazon. I will say this to the death of me, like consider my tombstone saying probiotics on Amazon, because they need to be stored a certain way. And in Amazon or like the Amazon warehouses, not to crap on Amazon, you don't know their storage. You know, you don't know how they're contained. You don't know how they're held. When you're buying things, even at the supplement store, you want to look at the expiration on the probiotic. If they don't have an expiration, that's a red flag. So oftentimes you'll see the probiotics say like 30 billion CFUs or X amount of CFUs. Notice if it says at expiration or not. If it doesn't say at expiration, chances are you're buying something already close to expiration. So it may have very well been manufactured at 30 billion CFUs when it was first made, but by the time it's sitting on the shelf and it's getting to you, it's no longer at that. So these are all reasons why you really want to check that expiration label when you're looking at it. Some really good sources of probiotics are Femdophilus. The Vitamin Shoppe actually sells it. I love it for females who have constant UTIs or just yeast infections. They're really potent and really good. My recommendation usually is taking two when you're having an active infection, one, you know, just for maintenance. Another brand I really like is Zymogen. Zymogen is tested by doctors, so they're really big on the sourcing. They won't put anything out if it's not sourced correctly or if they don't know where it's coming from. So right now, one of the big issues that we have, for instance, is maybe you've heard of red yeast rice. Red yeast rice is a natural derivative of a statin. A lot of people are having cardiovascular issues right now and not wanting to take statins because of the effect on the liver, so they're looking for red yeast rice. However, it's really hard to find good sources of red yeast rice right now, so Zymogen isn't selling it because they're saying, hey, listen, we don't trust where it's coming from. The ground is not conductive for healthy red yeast rice right now, so we're not putting it out on the market until we have it. So that's why I really, really like Zymogen for those types of things. Magnesium and, you know, other kinds of vitamins, especially if you have gastric concerns, one of the things you want to take into consideration if you're having a hard time digesting your foods is how then are you going to digest your supplements if you can't digest your foods? So oftentimes I have people come into the clinic with a really, really big supplement list. And they're like, well, I'm taking everything. And then we talk, well, are you eliminating every single day? What is that looking like? And if the answer is no, then most likely you need to look for forms of supplements that are in liquid form. The reason being is that in liquid form, it's easier for the body and easier for you to digest. Even consider getting injections of certain supplements, like especially magnesium, because magnesium sometimes a little bit hard to get in general. Mm-hmm. That way you're getting it directly into the bloodstream and it doesn't have to bypass anything that's going on in the GI. So these are just, you know, some things to consider down the road with those kinds of things. Gosh, as far as like also with magnesium and D, vitamin D, you want to take at least 5,000 IFUs of it. Vitamin D, if you have any gallstones or gallbladder issues, this is something that is super important because anybody with a gallbladder or liver issue, the issue is that they can't really absorb the fats. Vitamin D is a fat, so you're deficient in vitamin D. So consider promoting your health by also using vitamin D. Also, if it's in liquid form, this is going to be a little bit more bioavailable to you. In all, whenever you're buying a supplement, try to go less for the trendy label with all the color.
Right.
call your doctor, you know, if you trust them. The supplement world, call if you have an acupuncturist near you, call a holistic health practitioner or even a functional medicine doctor and just get their perspective and their insight on it. Because again, no supplement is created the same. And unfortunately, there's just a huge saturation in the market. So be a little bit cognizant and a little smart. Unfortunately, the way that we are farming and harvesting our foods right now, even if you're buying organic, we're stripping the ground of nutrients in the body. You know, the mineral content in our soil is not as abundant as it was X amount of years ago, which is why we're seeing so many nutritional deficiencies in today. Even if you're eating all the right foods, it doesn't mean necessarily that you're getting all the right nutrients, which is why also, you know, supplements, yes, are important to take. I try not to put my patients on too many supplements because it can be really overwhelming. If we can do it with food, we can do it with food. But just consider all these things. If you're feeling, you know, really fatigued, really low on energy, really anxious or nervous, you feel like you're getting all the caloric intake, but you're still feeling off, you know, the top questions to ask is, am I having a bowel movement every day? Am I hydrated? And what is the sourcing of the food that I'm getting? And if, you know, you having any questions to any of the answers that you're experiencing, then definitely considering a supplement.
I think another thing to add, I mean, I know that you touched on this as far as talking to your doctor, acupuncturist, whoever it is that you do go to for your medical advice, if anyone, is so important because it's so easy to hear even just this whole conversation that we're having. And it's like, oh, I have an issue with this. Okay, I'm going to write down this herb and I'm going to start taking it as opposed to maybe just checking in if you, especially if you have a close relationship with whoever your healthcare practitioner is, just checking in and saying, hey, I heard about this on a podcast or even on Instagram, wherever you hear about it. And just checking with them first, because again, I've made these mistakes. For instance, I've had liver issues for a long time because of high doses of antibiotics, steroids, antihistamines, all of these things. And glutathione is something that is always recommended for detox and liver. And I get vitamin C injections from time to time, especially if I'm traveling. And one time I decided to do the whole immunity blend or whatever it was, and it had glutathione in it. I was like, this will be great because a friend that I fully trust, who's also a researcher and just knows her shit about everything to do with science and the body and supplements, kept talking about glutathione and the liver, decided to do it. And my skin completely freaked out. It was painful. It was, you know, beyond a breakout. And when I told you about it, it was actually before I moved to Florida, before you were my doctor. And I told you about it and you're like, oh yeah, that's because you were detoxing, but it was too much too fast. You need to focus first on building your blood. So let's supplement that to build your blood first. And then you can go, you know, the little stronger detox routes later, which I would never have known.
And that's such, you know, that's such an important topic. There's actually two topics in that statement. One is our detox culture. Our detox culture is very kind of detrimental right now to society. I understand the need to want to be clean and feel your best. But you don't need to strip and completely mass clean your body in order to do that. When I think detox, I think of taking away the term detox and think of more like how can we strengthen the body to have it be sustainable and also ward off infection and bacteria and microorganisms? Because at the end of the day, we're going to get dirty. We're going to get infection. We're going to get sickness. Actually, the body's way of getting sick from time to time is a healthy immune system response to strengthen it. So it's not that you never want to be sick or never want to be rid of illness. It's that you want to be able to handle and adapt to it. So what are ways, especially if people are having a lot of immune or compromised issues, you know, or other things going on with the liver, how can we really support you to strengthen your immune system to the point that you're not going to have that Herx reaction as bad or have the hives? Because if you're constantly needing to strip the body and detox the body, you can just feel depleted and then not nourished afterwards. And it can be really, really hard to recover from that.
Yeah. Yeah. And even just that switch of language, I think, is more empowering. You're focusing more on strengthening rather than stripping away. And, even just kind of interwoven with diet culture language. You know, a lot of diet culture, it's more about what do you eliminate? What do you cut and restrict from your diet versus what can you add in to make your diet more abundant and more exciting and more nourishing to you on a whole level?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not exaggerating when I say that I literally use my Namawell juicer every single day. If you follow me on Instagram, then you're probably sick of me talking about how in love I am with this juicer, but I kind of can't help it because the obsession is real. I know that investing in a high-quality juicer is definitely expensive up front, but keep in mind that Namawell makes juices, smoothies, milks, and sorbets. So if you enjoy any of these delicious concoctions regularly, then you'll actually find that it's way more affordable in the long run to just make it yourself at home. Plus, you're reducing waste by eliminating excess bottles and cartons, which is something you know I love. If you want to join the Namawell fam, make sure to use the code WALKHOME at checkout to save $40 on your purchase. And don't forget to check out all the free juice and juice pulp recipes on my blog to nourish your mind, body, and soul.
I want to reiterate, don't expect a supplement to be the cure-all to everything. So expecting a supplement to heal your body is like expecting a water droplet to put out a wildfire. It doesn't happen, you know, and it won't happen. So supplements are one branch of healthcare. Healthcare is so many different things. Healthcare is our mental health. Healthcare is our emotional health. Healthcare is our inflammatory tendencies, our addictions, our cycles, the way that we move about the world. For instance, if you're experiencing anxiety, I get a lot of messages, you know, through Instagram or emails, I have anxiety, what can I take from my anxiety? And, you know, there's a bunch of herbs that I have in mind, but always my first question is, it's like, all right, let's figure out what is the mechanism behind your anxiety? Because short, easy answer for me to tell people is, you know, take St. John's wort or valerian root and your anxiety will be gone. But that's not necessarily the case. The anxiety can be the environment that you live in. You're in a toxic relationship with a partner, or you're in a job situation that you hate. You leave home crying every single day because the pressures or demands too much. You can take all the St. John wort you want, but it's not going to eliminate that anxiety. So sometimes, you know, even people coming into the clinic, well, it's not working. Well, let's see what the trigger is on the outside, and also being patient with your process in that motion of trying to discover it. You know, with sleep issues, oh, just take melatonin. That's, you know, super generic, but what is causing the sleep issues? Are you constantly on your phone? Are you thinking, overthinking about something? You know, is it something a little bit more deep and emotional based? Perhaps talk therapy is recommended. You know, talk therapy can be very therapeutic for sleep issues as well, because you're addressing the emotional component behind it. So really considering the way that you're moving through the world and the things that you're doing. I see my patients maybe for, you know, 1 hour, sometimes a little bit more throughout the week. There's, you know, 180 hours perhaps in the week. So let's think about what are all the things we're doing in between to get you better. So these are some things I'd like to leave people on thinking, you know, if they're having a question or a health concern and they're quick to run to a supplement, let's consider the breakdown of your life and think about what's going on in there before we rush to the supplement, which is often why I don't really introduce supplements until about the third or fourth treatment in, until I've really gotten a better feel for the person and perhaps what's going on.
Yeah. And again, this is something that I'm guilty of. And I think maybe even more, especially for people that deal with chronic illness, because you also do get to this point of desperation where you're just like, I just want something to work. And if I could just take this glutathione and magically I'd be healed, I'll do it. Even if I have a horrible breakout, I'll do it. But it's exactly what you said earlier about the wood type. They'll do anything. Yeah. And so I also sympathize with that. If you are in that place of just kind of that desperation of like, I just want to feel better, but it is such an important perspective to keep in mind that that one thing isn't going to do it. And it is so important to really address the root cause and that kind of thinking of, oh, well, this one thing is going to fix me, is that very black and white kind of polarized world that we've always lived in, but we are seeing much more clearly right now, instead of exploring the nuances and the individuality and, okay, yes, this might have helped this person's liver. And yes, scientifically, this does support the liver, but what is actually giving me the liver problems? And like, let's backtrack a little bit. Let's pause for a second and see what's really going on.
Exactly. And, you know, on that, with anybody dealing with chronic illness, I've dealt with my own things, you know, especially reproductive wise with endometriosis. So that's been really hard and debilitating. So I want to make note that if you're going through something that's really, really hard, or you're in the form of a health crisis, it's okay to need fast relief. You're not meant to suffer your way through it. So don't feel like, even if you're taking a more holistic approach to your healing, if you're having a flare of something and you need to reach for that prescription to really calm down, it's okay. You're not cheating the system and you're not, you know, failing yourself. Sometimes this is the feeling when we're embarking, like we're less than, or we're not good enough, that we have to do this. It's okay. Mm-hmm. There's been countless times that my flare-ups have gotten so bad, you know, that I've needed to reach to my prescription cabinet and grab something. And it doesn't make me less than an acupuncturist than I am now, or less than, you know, more of a holistic approach. It's just sometimes if the pain gets too great, it's okay, you know. And considering that, really, we kind of grace on this here and there, it's less of a divide. And I hope that the future can kind of be a combination of the two, knowing that, you know, one's not better than the other, one's not worse than the other. If you can combine some of the scientific advances that Western has, as well as the just more embodied approach and empowering approach that holistic medicine has, perhaps we can find a healthy middle ground to stand in our health, so it's not as much of a divide or push and pull.
Yeah, and this is something that you remind me all the time, especially when we are working more remotely, when I'm in Nicaragua, if I'm sending you pictures of whatever it is that's going on with me, and you always tell me, if you need to take, you know, the antihistamine or the pain pill or whatever it is, take it, you know what's best for you. And this is an important reminder for me personally. I don't necessarily have this feeling of less than, but for me, it's more of fear of knowing what taking those things in excess have done to me in the past. Mm-hmm. So I have this fear of like, oh, is this going to reverse all the work that I've done? And of course it's not. It's one dose of it, but it's just, it's the same sort of thing around food. Like, oh, I had this one time and it gave me hives. Is it going to do that again? And just kind of working through that anxiety and fear around those two things. And what I really appreciate is you telling me, like, you know what's best for you. I'm not going to tell you when to take the antihistamine, the pain pill, the anxiety medication, whatever it is, but you will know when you get to that point. And if it comes to that point, or when it comes to that point, that's okay. We can also still use herbs. It's not one or the other. And I think that reminder is so important. And a lot of the best doctors I've had, whether they have been allopathic or another acupuncturist or a naturopath, whatever it may be, they've always really encourage that too, that it's okay. We can blend them together. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. It doesn't have to be so elitist too, which I think is very associated with holistic health and wellness, to where it's, there is this elitist mentality around it, especially nowadays. And I think that's kind of where the less than comes from. And you also hear this a lot in talks about diet culture and food morality and the kind of orthorexia world, where it's like, oh, if I eat that thing that's not healthy, then I'm less than. And, you know, it's that very, oh, that's beneath me. And I think it's just so important to remind people that you will know what's best for you. And sometimes taking a prescription medication is the best form of self-care.
Exactly. You know, I have had the pleasure of getting to know you through this time. At the end of the day, you know yourself better than anybody else, you know. And sometimes what my goal is with you, or with anybody else, is how can we guide you to really connect to that, to find that intuition, to make informed decisions on your health and your life. Because at the end of the day, like you said, you're going to know it when you know it. I'm not in your body. I'm not physically experiencing. I can empathize, you know, and I can have compassion for some of the things that you go through, but only your body will know how to respond, you know. And I can provide you guidance as how to get there, and some things that may work, some things may not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think for some people that might sound kind of scary, especially when it does come to medication or herbs, to where they're like, but how am I supposed to know when to do it? But I swear it really also becomes very empowering, because it's giving you an opportunity to get to know yourself better, to get to know sensations in your body better, to get to know your mind better, and to make those choices for yourself is actually a really empowering place to be in, rather than going to a doctor, handing over your power to them and being like, okay, fix me, tell me what to do, and I'm just going to do whatever you say and have no thought about it.
Well, we're in the age of Aquarius, which is like the perfect time to do that. What happened with the scientific revolution, and I won't go too much into it because I mentioned it before, but we got so fixated on doing the quote unquote right thing and being right brain dominant that we forgot the left side, our intuition. So all of a sudden, being able to feel what is really going on without overthinking it or WebMDing it has become totally foreign. So for those of you just really embarking on this journey and starting to know, like, how am I going to know when this is right for me? Start with very basic practices of dropping into your body. So sitting in a quiet space, how do I feel right now? How does it feel to be me in this moment? Then concentrating on any area in the body that you're probably holding tension or just residual stress, and then sending the breath there, or just sending your attention right there and really nourishing that space without judgment or attachment to the space. I talk about this a lot in yoga, in child's pose, being able to use that introspective position to kind of body scan and take a drop in, as the fetal position kind of represents, and you know, that grounding into the ground and into nature. With these practices, you'll be able to become aware of how a certain herb feels for you, or how that medication feels for you, regardless of what it says online, regardless of even what it says in the bottle. If this is making your body feel nourished and good, you know, and don't conflate being nourished as far as, you know, checking out, as far, if it makes you feel grounded and whole, then it's good. You know, and mm-hmm. then good for you and good for your body. Because again, a healthy food that is good for somebody, let's take broccoli, for instance. People preach broccoli all the time, but for those with thyroid issues, broccoli can really be detrimental because broccoli has some enzymes that can mess with thyroid function, you know? So just an example, just tapping into how it feels and less about what it says. And this will be a practice that may sound a little bit foreign as I'm speaking it, but with time and dedication, you'll be able to drop in a little bit more.
Yeah. And I think those constant check-ins too, just you'll notice how your needs and feelings and all of these things are also evolving. So just kind of a closing thing, but with me recently, because of all the health stuff I've been dealing with, my anxiety has been skyrocketing. Mm-hmm. And one way that I've been asking for help from Alex, who I am so lucky to have a partner that lives with me and supports me and loves me in my time of need. I know that not everyone has access to that, but even just having a friend or someone that could be your support system through it. But even just trying to find this new team of doctors in this new state, something as small as Googling a specific field of doctors, it kind of overwhelms me so much, because then I start seeing all the things they specialize in, which are like cancer and like these really serious illnesses. And then I start thinking, like, do I have cancer? And even though I don't even feel like I have health anxiety, but just seeing these words and scrolling through these profiles makes me anxious. And that's not something that's typical for me, but it's where I'm at right now. So I've just asked Alex, can you just send me, you know, top three doctors that you think, and then I'll just call them. But I don't even want to look at the words. I don't want to think about all of these horrible diseases. Yeah. I'll just go to them for the test, because that stress is not good for me right now. Knowing that that is just the same kind of self-awareness or check-in that I notice right away, that it's like, okay, this is how I can ask for help, or this is actually what I need right now. Even if I don't usually need this, usually I can read these words and go through this much more smoothly. So I think just having those regular check-ins will also allow you to be able to ask for help, whether it's from a doctor, a friend, a loved one, or ask for help more, not asking, but through the supplement, you know, like knowing where you feel deficient, knowing what feels right, and just getting a little bit more in tune with everything that's coming up.
Exactly. And to tie it all in, that was the most wood type thing, like a girl thing you've ever said, because wood types, you know, to summarize everything, their lesson in life is to do things less alone and to build connection and be okay with asking for help. So from a health standpoint, if you resonate with what we're sharing with the wood type, as Kayla mentioned, like being okay with sometimes passing over some of your health things to family or friends and asking for support in that way. Whereas the earth type may feel a little bit disconnected for that. Maybe power in the earth types will be being a little bit more vocal in the doctor's office when you have something. Don't worry so much if it sounds weird or if there's a time constraint, knowing that you deserve that respect and that time. the metal type, you know, if you're in a doctor's office, perhaps ditching the list of things that are on, or at least just setting it aside and really getting into that feeling conversation that we've been talking about. So how does it feel regardless of like what makes sense? It doesn't have to make sense for it to be a thing in your body. So just describing it, having it come up, you know, whereas the fire, perhaps tempering down a little bit of that feeling and getting into a little bit more of the meticulousness of it is a little bit better. So perhaps creating a list, because the fire is a little bit more scattered when you're going to the doctor's office or a thing, you know, and the water is less also isolated, like knowing that you don't have to go through it alone and you don't have to come up with a completely new way of healing. Sometimes the best ways of healings have been ones that have been around for a really long time. So trusting those people with that knowledge, it doesn't only have to be you.
I love that tie together. I mean, that wasn't even planned, but that was perfect, because that's just, I think, a really empowering place to leave people if they, whether they're dealing with a chronic illness or inevitably they will probably go to a doctor, some sort of healthcare at some point in their life. So it's a great way to enter into the situation in the most empowering way.
Oh, it was so nice to be here again.
I know. Can you tell people where they can find you?
Sure. I am located in Boca, so that's Florida. And if anybody has any questions, I'm sure that we can provide a little link to my business as well.
Yes, absolutely. And what about on Instagram?
Yes, I am on Instagram, Marissa Manupora. There's a dot in between.
Yes, and we will add those links in the show notes. Thank you so much for coming on, and I will see you all next week.
Oh, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Walk Home Podcast. If you enjoyed it, it would mean so much to me if you took a few minutes to subscribe, rate, and review. Don't forget that if you email us a screenshot of your rating and review, we'll send you 2 specially crafted yoga classes as a thank you for your support. If you think that this particular topic would resonate with friends, family, or loved ones, please don't forget to share it with them. We love being tagged on social media. You can find us at The Walk Home Pod on Instagram and Facebook. And if you want to listen to us ad-free, then you can always support us through Patreon at patreon.com/TheWalkHomePod. See you next week.